continuing our Summer 19 coverage from the Music City Center of NAMM. And right now we are bringing in Larry Crane live here on the radio with us. How are you doing today, Larry?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying the show and I'm enjoying being in Nashville.
Right on, man. Yeah. How many times have you made it to Summer NAMM?
I'm not sure.
At least a lot.
Five or six.
Okay, yeah, awesome. Yeah. Well, we're pretty spoiled having it in our backyard.
Absolutely.
Of Nashville, Tennessee. And one of the things that you're involved in is the Tape Op, the Creative Music Recording Magazine.
Absolutely.
You've been doing this for a long time.
I started that in 1996 before I even owned a professional studio. And I was just really wanting to learn more about the art of creating records, recording music. And I started interviewing people that I knew and that were making records at home and people that are making records in studios. And I just went for it. You know, here we are 26 years later.
I guess you've learned a lot of things.
23 years later, sorry. I've learned a lot of things. You know, when you get to interview the wide variety of people, you learn so many different things, you know. I just ran into Jamie Liddell out on the floor, and like interviewing him was amazing, you know, about his creativity and everything. And I've interviewed people like T-Bone Burnett and Brian Eno and all these different people, and they all bring something to the table that, you know, different thoughts about the creativity, the art, everything.
We're big fans of, I think, all those folks you just mentioned, including Jamie Liddell, who lives here in Nashville. Another fine artist we stole fair and square from somewhere else.
The amazing thing about Nashville now is I can come here and talk to people that are making all kinds of different records, and that's just a real treat. So fun.
How are things in Portland, Oregon?
It's a great scene there. There's a really wide variety of music now. It's certainly been known for like indie rock and such like that over the years, but in my studio we see like jazz records, we see like bluegrass type records, we see alt country, we see indie rock, we see everything comes through the doors, electronic things. It's really fun.
What's something that came through the doors of recent that you thought of?
You know, I had a really fun session with a band called Moon Duo.
Moon Duo?
Yeah.
All right.
The main, one of the partners in that band is also in a band called the Wooden Ships.
Okay.
With a psychedelic garage, kind of guitar band. And this Moon Duo stuff is like electronic, like krautrock, like German kind of hypnotic music from the 70s and such.
That's 60s, cool. 70s.
And it's really cool. It was really fun. It was like loop bass, but then recording real instruments on top of it. And it's real kind of hypnotic, and it was cool.
We've got a band called Moon Taxi here that we're big fans
Moon
of.
Moon Taxi can get you to Moon Duo.
Like this. we should hook them up.
Duo
sounds like they might be doing the after party.
Exactly. The Moon Tour.
The Moon Tour. As I think tomorrow is the 50th anniversary of landing on the moon.
Right. Yeah, I just watched that film For All Mankind. It's NASA footage and all about. It's got a Brian Eno, Daniel Lanois soundtrack as well.
A couple days ago, we did a moon theme request lunch, and it was pretty fun to see all the different requests because you have whatever's in your head, and then of course listeners are suggesting things you wouldn't even think about.
You know, and the moon. Actually, we were just talking about this the other day, that the moon. Is a very lyrical thing. It's used in lyrics all over the place. You know, how high the moon, you know, dark side of the moon. It's all over lyrics because it's such a thing. Lunacy and all the different things that happen with that.
Have you ever got to experience a full lunar eclipse?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's hard to remember now. You know, it's been a long time.
Okay. I think if you've...
What year was that?
Right? No. Well,
71?
We had a total eclipse here that was in Nashville.
Right.
And that's been a couple years ago. But I'd say that if you really experienced it, you would never forget it. Because there's this feeling that you get that
eerie.
I've never felt before or after. So
I saw a partial one on the West Coast like a year or two ago. Yeah, I was in the wrong spot.
I got Larry Crane. We're hanging out here, broadcasting live from Summer NAMM. I didn't think we'd end up talking about the dark side of the moon here. Since 1996, he has been putting out a really cool free magazine. It's called Tape Op, the Creative Music Recording Magazine. We've got the August-September edition out. I imagine folks will be able to pick this up if they come out to NAMM tomorrow.
We have a bunch of copies. We have a table over here. We're giving away copies of magazines, even the issue before that. We've got extras. We do free subscriptions online at tapeout.com, but we have cards to remind you to go online and subscribe. And, you know, it's all just about making records, recording music, all the really fun, creative stuff. That new issue's got Jeff Tweedy of Wilco.
I see that, yeah. Jeff Tweedy is on the cover of this one. So
absolutely.
You were talking about doing a lot of the interviews yourself. Did you get to interview Jeff?
I was out there in Chicago on that minus 20 degree day in January.
Oh, my goodness.
That was the day we did this. And I was out there for 2 days. I hung out and listened to Wilco work on their new record in the studio. And I interviewed Jeff and his son Spencer, and I interviewed their engineer. It was a fantastic day, and just the most hospitable, wonderful people, despite it being freezing outside.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. They, you know, honestly, they've been one of my favorite bands, and mm-hmm. I've really liked this this incarnation of Wilco with Nels Klein on lead guitar for the past, it's been 10 years. I mean, it's been a while that they've had this version of Wilco.
Absolutely.
And it's been sounding real good.
I got to have lunch with all of them. Their loft is their space, and I was going to call it a studio space, but it's really an everything space. And we sat and had lunch there one day with everybody, and I got to hear them doing overdubs and working on it. Fantastic record.
A couple years ago, I got a vinyl copy of Sky Blue Sky, mm-hmm. and when you open it up, it's like this, you know, because it's as big as a vinyl record, and this picture of what the recording studio looked like when they were making that record. And it's pretty intimate. It's like you can feel like you were there.
It's like a clubhouse, and there's just always instruments and things set up, and the vibe is just more like a really awesome rehearsal place with all sorts of extra instruments you can grab at any time, and you're looking out over the road there. There's like windows looking out. It's not an isolated place. It's not a place like a typical studio that's closed off from the world. So you'll probably hear a siren go by on some of those records. And, you know, it's a really good environment for being creative. And that's what I see. I go all over the world. I've been in Abbey Road. I've been in, you know, Ocean Way. I've been in all these studios all over the world. And you see all these different kinds of spaces that people can work at and be creative and, you know, utilize like giant rooms or especially cool little rooms like Sun Studios or Sam Phillips down in Memphis. You see all these different places and you think, they all have something, you know, and it's really cool.
You've been a part of the Portland, Oregon scene for a long time, and you have a history with Elliott Smith.
Right.
Can you tell us about your relationship with him?
We met like in 96. We kind of met before that, but in 96, I recorded a little bit of stuff on his album Either Or, which sort of was a breakthrough indie release. And then late 96, we started looking around Portland for a space to build a studio. I was going to build a studio anyway, and he needed a place to work out of, and I said, let's work together. So we found a space, and in 97, we signed a lease, opened up a little tiny shack of a studio called Jackpot Recording Studio, and right soon after that, we recorded a song called Miss Misery.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, really, with I swear it was like, you know, 6 months, 4 months later, we recorded this song. Gus Van Sant, the famous director, came around one day and listened to it with Elliott. I was out running errands. And then the next thing we knew, it was going to get remixed and used in a movie soundtrack.
So Goodwill Hunting.
I was able to co-produce and engineer a song that was nominated for an Oscar that year. And my life was never the same.
I'm sure that was the gateway drug for a lot of folks to Elliott Smith's music.
You know, seeing him perform on the Oscars was very surreal for his friends. But, you know, here's like, just like the best of Nashville, here's a fantastic songwriter who's doing it on his own, in his own terms, in his own way, and was got presented to the world on a very grand scale. And it was pretty amazing.
Well, Larry Crane, I'm so glad that we got to chat.
Yeah, thank you.
Really, really cool getting to talk to you. If anyone gets a chance, check it out. He's the editor of Tape Op Magazine and has been a part of a lot of great music, including this song by the late Elliott Smith. It's Miss Misery on Lightning 100.